And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just Something I've Noticed. We don't give enough credit to signs, and we really should. That sign over there tells you, great French fries. That sign over there tells you, this is your exit. And look at that legendary sign. It's the Motel 6 sign. It tells you, a great night's rest at a great price. Book online at motel6.com and use the code CPRedEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby. Look for the signs. And truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a great price when you use the code CPRedEye. That's the letters CPRedEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel6.com. That's a great deal. And that's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show from the Uniden America Studios. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the planet, we are Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Good morning. Welcome to the Friday show. Good Friday. Easter weekend is here. I'm trying to think, what am I doing this weekend? The only thing I'm doing, I had no plans. I'm like you. All of a sudden, it's a weekend, and you're like, what's going on? What? I don't work tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh, because it's been pretty busy here. I've been pretty focused on all the different stories. One thing I will do this weekend, I will do my taxes.
Yeah? All right.
Yeah.
All right.
I had a great dream last night before I came into work.
Really?
Great dream.
Right. And what was that dream?
I was extremely happy because I got a $1,500 refund from the IRS.
Oh.
And okay. I remember in the dream, I was like incredibly thrilled because for years, you know, I've had to cut a check and I will have to cut a check again this year, which is, I'm thinking to myself, wow, my brain is actually thinking about the fact that I've got to do my taxes this weekend and I'm going to owe them. And it's like something in my brain is saying, make that guy happy, even in a dream. Just make him happy that he's getting $1,500 back. Well, that's not the case.
Yeah. Well, you can always dream. that's about all you can do in that regard.
In fact, that's all I could do, and that's what I did. But, so... This is going to be tax. This will be tax weekend.
Yeah, all right then.
So as for sports, I guess
okay, fine.
Basketball's on and stuff. You know,
all right. Yeah,
getting down to what? Well, oh, they get down to the Final Four this weekend. Yeah,
the Final 40. Finally,
I say 40.
No.
Oh, okay.
It just seems sometimes it just seems to take longer. Well, it is actually taking longer. You put more teams in, it's going to take longer, isn't it? How many have we heard about how many brackets have been broken or destroyed or crushed? I haven't seen that this year. You know, my bracket just got crushed the first round.
Now, Biden's bracket's still there.
Because they're changing it daily.
Well, no, he had
to be correct. They're filling it in after the games.
No. He had the New York Jets as the winner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And for the women's side, also the New York Jets. And don't say anything. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have to call you a bigot.
No joke.
Are you ready for this?
No.
This is just great. James Carville is right. Preachy women are destroying Biden's chances, from Douglas Schoen, the well-known Democrat consultant.
Yeah.
It's preachy women.
That's the problem.
Don't preach to us. Don't talk, Democrats are saying. Women, don't talk. We don't want to hear what you have to say.
Well, it's the same side that says you also don't have a place in sports, in your own sports leagues.
Oh, that's right. Exactly.
So why should they allow them to talk then?
I'm waiting for a Democrat to come up with that whole barefoot quote.
Barefoot and pregnant?
Political strategist James Carville just issued Democrats an explicit warning the party would be wise to heed. President Biden's poor polling numbers indicate serious problems with the Democratic Party's message itself. Carville remarked in the New York Times interview that Biden's polling numbers are like walking in on your grandmother naked. You can't get the image out of your mind.
Well, I can't now.
While I would not have used such language, Carville's point is correct. Not only is Biden's overall approval rating shy of 40%, his ratings on nearly every issue against Trump are negative. While most of the public polling polls put Biden within striking distance of Trump in the presidential horse race, that's not the full story. The current president badly trails his predecessor anywhere from 11 to 25 points, if you're counting the CNBC survey from the other day, a lot more, on every defining issue: immigration, crime, the economy, and national security, according to the recent Shone Cooperman Research National poll. So he's plugging his own poll.
Yeah.
The data also shows swing voters and independents who narrowly broke for Biden in 2020, leaning towards Trump, which is how we can expect these voters to break in November. Elections are typically a referendum on the incumbent president rather than the challenger, even one as scandalous as Trump. Ultimately, Democrats have not fully come to terms with the fact that to be successful, Biden needs to do more than run a strictly negative campaign against Trump and rally the party's base around abortion or vague references to democracy and human rights. Relatedly, Carville's next point, that Democrats are only talking to preachy females, has a gem of truth to it as well.
Oh, man. Pay attention, ladies.
Well, Carville's
this is about you.
While Carville's characterization of the issue is arguably inappropriate, it is nonetheless the case that Democrats can't win in a presidential election by basing their entire campaign on social issues when the country is pessimistic about the economy and deeply concerned about the southern border. Mm-hmm. It's not clear if Carville was referring to Jill Biden as the preachy female, but it's certainly possible given the central role she's taken in her husband's social agenda. The First Lady just kicked off the Women for Biden-Harris campaign effort this month and delivered a forceful address about LGBTQ rights at a Los Angeles campaign dinner over the weekend. However, meritorious Dr. Biden's remarks were at the L.A. dinner. Remember, he's a Democrat.
Yeah.
It's hard to see how they helped her husband's campaign, given the dueling protesters both inside and outside the room, with one side protesting the administration's alleged support of genocide in Gaza and the other condemning its failure to win the release of additional Israeli hostages and American hostages still held by Hamas. She did raise significant funding for the campaign, which is a wash in money, whatever its deficit in the polls, and that may well have helped her trip's central goal. With respect to the Israeli-Hamas conflict, the administration's position has become rudderless.
Mm-hmm. And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just Something I've Noticed. We don't give enough credit to signs, and we really should. That sign over there tells you, great French fries. That sign over there tells you, this is your exit. And look at that legendary sign. It's the Motel 6 sign. It tells you, a great night's rest at a great price. Book online at Motel6.com and use the code CPRedEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby. Look for the signs. And truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a great price when you use the code CPRedEye. That's the letters CPRedEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel6.com. That's a great deal. And that's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s. The breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
It says, and comments on issues by progressives like squad member Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Well, the interesting thing is he's relating it to the fact that the preachy females are Democrats, women in Congress, and the First Lady.
Mm-hmm.
Her comments are working against their own party. All three women, because who else do they have in there? I don't see the other woman. He says all three women who Carville may have implicitly targeted might have different perspectives and positions, but none is seeking to broaden the administration's appeal in the way many observers, including myself, believe is necessary to win these seven key swing states. Because when you talk about the major problems out there, there really isn't a problem on the border to them, unless they're forced to answer it. There isn't a problem. The economy is doing fine and dandy. There's no problem there whatsoever. The problem is anything that they bring up, and Schoen doesn't hit this, anything that the campaign brings up about the economy, if they bring it up that it's negative, Democrats or Republicans will pound all over them. See, they're admitting it stinks. It's horrible.
Right.
And so that's the problem. And I just don't think that Biden wants to go in that direction. And the White House doesn't because they think everything they're doing is great. That's the problem.
Right.
Unless the campaign is prepared to refocus itself and move to the center on key issues, they can't.
No, they're not going to.
The economy, national security, and immigration. Now, by the way, this is the second column that we've read. Douglas Schoen, again, a political pollster and consultant. And then we had Roy Teixeira, also a long Democrat, you know, very been a Democrat his whole life, that runs the website Liberal Patriot. What they're basically saying is, in order for the Democrats to win,
they need to stop being Democrats.
In order for the Democrats to win, they need to share Trump's views on the issues.
It's not going to happen. It's an admission by both of them that Trump is right.
Here it is. When it comes to the border, Biden should neither hope nor expect to win an election by solely campaigning on the facts that on the fact Republicans sabotaged the bipartisan border security bill back in February. To demonstrate his commitment to tightening the border and getting the migrant crisis under control, Biden should use executive action to the extent he can to tougher the asylum process and provide physical barriers in the form of a wall and fencing.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're saying is, in order for Biden to win on immigration, he must become Trump.
Yeah.
I mean, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
They can't.
Yeah, it's silly.
They can't do that on the economy. It's not enough for Biden and Democrats to campaign on positive macroeconomic trends, low unemployment and reduced inflation, without making a concerted effort to understand and address Americans' concerns about excessive spending and taxation. Mm-hmm. What? And this is the second consultant that we've read today who has said in order for Democrats to win, they have to become Republicans.
Right.
Biden must appeal to the many swing state voters and independents who are worried tax increases on the rich are likely to hurt the middle class and concerned about the size and scope of government. It's just I mean, just I don't know what to say. Because, again, it's the second article that we read today that came out in the last 24 hours from Democratic consultants saying in order for Democrats to win, they must become Republicans or they must do what they will never, ever do.
Right. Well, they're admitting that Trump and Republicans are right. That's what they're doing here. Both. In both cases. They're saying they need to be just like Republicans. What you're saying is the Republicans you believe are going to win, you believe they're connecting, and you believe they're right.
By the way, Douglas Schoen was an advisor to Bill Clinton and Hillary's 2000 Senate campaign and is a pollster and still consultant. So,
Well, at the very least, they may not personally agree that they're right. Either of them may not agree that they're right, but they know what it would take to connect with the American people. They believe that the American people believe Trump is right. Enough of them. That's what you're saying. If you're saying they need to quit being Democrats and be more like Trump, you're saying, okay, Trump is connecting and they're not connecting and the American people are in Trump's corner by and large.
Well, what they're saying is it's about the issues.
Mm-hmm. Which it always is.
And that's,
especially when those issues become reality and not in the abstract on the big issues.
Well, look. Trump lost a lot of votes in 2020 because of his personality.
Mm-hmm.
People don't like him.
Right.
Well, now they've seen Biden for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody here is untested. Mm-hmm. Everybody, both candidates have been tested. Right. And, you know, if you're looking at Kennedy, if we want to bring him into the mix, you can see that the Democrats now with his vice presidential pick are absolutely paranoid. And as it comes out, and we said this would happen, the Trump campaign, and just in general, the media, the conservative media especially, will point out, as already have, his liberalism, how he's for green energy, how he wants, you know, the smart meters in everybody's home where, you know, the utility can turn off your power. You're not in control of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those things he will be labeled in the next couple of months, and I believe successfully so. It's not going to be hard to convince a lot of people that a Kennedy is a liberal.
Right.
Especially when he has held such heavy liberal positions.
Yeah, he could do it regardless of what his name is. But, yeah, certainly with a Kennedy name, you're going to. But that's, you know, it's and I don't know why people bought into it.
No, and then as the vice presidential candidate hurt him.
That seals the deal.
That seals the deal with anybody who was a Republican.
Yeah.
Well, except.
It should.
Except Bill Kristol.
Right. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah, because he's always been a true conservative. Right. Yeah.
But it's, as we have said, this when it gets down to the point where, as we said, the Democrats' biggest political enemy is not the Republicans, it's reality. That's what's happening on everything across the board. People are feeling the reality of the policies, which, again, Republicans use it.
Yep.
Democrats can't fix it because they caused it.
Yep.
You should hear that. That should be on every, that should be a month from now. That should be something that every Republican is on the tip of their tongue because the commercials have been out there all over the place on social media. Democrats can't fix it because they caused it. 866-90-RED-EYE.
This morning's USDA Farm Report is brought to you by Howe's Products. Tested, trusted, guaranteed since 1920.
Pork producers would very much like to be able to keep production under control to keep hog prices from falling. That effort, though, is being sabotaged in a way by the efficient manner of pork production, namely...
The big increase in the pigs per litter rate.
So, looking at the history here, USDA livestock analyst Mike McConnell says for Faro to finish operations...
Returns have been negative and pretty largely negative over the past year, going for most of 2023.
To try and fix that, producers have been reducing farrowings. Thursday's USDA hog and pig report says producers intend to farrow anywhere from 1 to 3% fewer sows over the next few months.
However, the improvements that they're getting on the pigs per litter rate and the productivity out of their sows is surpassing that, and as a result, we still have a bigger pig crop despite the lower farrowings.
The pig crop at last count still running 2% larger than 1 year ago. Gary Crawford reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
This report brought to you by Cenex Fuels and Lubes.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Well, the Easter egg roll is all set for the White House for Monday. The theme again, eggucation.
Okay.
As it's been the last, Jill Biden came up with that one. Eggucation, which means they are not submitting to the will of PETA and will not be using potatoes instead of eggs. They will be using eggs because the American Egg Board, on behalf of American egg farmers, are the sponsor of the event officially, according to this White House memo that I'm looking at.
So then they clearly chose the money of special interest.
Yes. Yes.
Over doing the right thing and saving
eggs.
Chicken embryos, as we call them.
Yes.
In PETA.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And also, from what we know, the Easter Bunny will not be asking the president a question this year.
In fact, the Easter Bunny has been banned from the event. Like Jim Acosta.
Red Eye. Now's your chance to be the caller. Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Just looking at the list. This came out about a week ago, but it's just interesting. It really didn't get a lot of publicity, but the state unemployment rates. North Dakota, the lowest jobless rate at 2%. Whoa. Wow. The next lowest rate, South Dakota, 2.1%. Who had the highest unemployment rate?
Mm-hmm.
California, 5.3. Closely followed by Nevada at 5.2. Six states in the District of Columbia had higher rates, and 22 states had rates that were not really that much different than the rest of the nation.
Right.
Just looking at it here, let me see. I'm trying to find Texas. No, it's not on this list that I have here. Huh. Oh, okay, because they're looking at the worst and the. Let me see, Alabama 3%. United States overall 3.9%, California 5.1%, District of Columbia 5.1%. Florida 3.1. Yeah, I don't know if Texas on the list. I can't see it. Not.
Yeah, I thought that we had covered Texas in another story the other day, and it was somewhere around 3.5 or maybe 3.2. because we covered California versus basically
California's have gone up. We might have done that. Okay.
Texas has gone down. The unemployment rate had gone down. But it's becoming harder and harder, you know, to work in California and also to employ people as a company in California. I would love to see the breakdown, the attribution in terms of the rise in, let's say, over the last 24 months in unemployment in California, or the any change over the last 24 months in California as more employers leave that state, what the overall effect has been. And, you know, you see right now the states that are booming, where the economy is doing well. There's also, you know, there is a what they call the churn rate. So the busier the state, or I guess the more productive the state, then you're going to see in terms of the churn rate itself, not the employment rate, but the churn rate itself, the people that are changing jobs, between jobs, changing jobs, is going to be higher because there is going to be a greater attraction to that next higher paying job.
But I'm looking right here at the Texas economic indicators from the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, and they're saying the same thing. The unemployment rate was actually 3.9%, but they're saying the employment expanded 4.3% in February. The nation was 2.1%.
Yeah.
So the job creation
is
twice what the national average is, which increases the churn rate or the unemployment rate at that point.
Yeah, that churn rate is the people between jobs that are going from one job to the next job. And they're those people that are in that in-between mode are considered to be unemployed at that point. But you're going to have that in the more productive states because the jobs are more competitive. It's that simple. So when you increase the number of people that are employed overall, when you're increasing those numbers, it's the indication that they are more productive as a state. And, of course, the churn rate is going to be higher.
Well, and what's interesting here, because when you look at it, just looking at the state of Texas, for example, we could look at Florida, but Texas's economy probably is more diverse.
Yeah, than Florida.
Than Florida's, yeah.
Right,
because Florida relies so much on travel. But this is interesting. And this is, again, this is just for February, so they can fluctuate month to month.
Sure.
But job gains were largely widespread, outpacing the U.S. in all sectors. But trade, transportation, and utilities, and oil and gas.
Yeah.
Texas' strongest gains were in professional and business services, leisure and hospitality, manufacturing, and financial activities all grew more than 6%. I mean, that's monstrous.
Wow. Manufacturing, a number of things there. You have more manufacturers moving to Texas. I would have to believe that that also includes the tech manufacturing, which is ramping up. Chip makers and whatnot and
you ready for this? Here we go. Now this is really really interesting. Manufacturing Texas, February of 2024, there it is, 8.7%. They have it. The nation as a whole minus 0.4%.
Wow.
So you knew that was, you know, that's not a surprise. Did the state GDPs come out yet? For it would be the fourth quarter, I think, right?
Yeah, I don't know that we've seen that yet.
Because that's always interesting to look at. You know, and we said the same thing for crime because, you know, you had Trump in New York for the funeral of the police officer, John Diller. And you know, he's taking advantage of it. He's taking advantage of it, whatever. And it's just, you know, it's, and the first thing that you saw come out was, well, crime is up in some areas nationwide, but it's down in a lot of areas. Well, we're not dealing with the country as a whole when it comes to crime.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Specifically, the focus is large Democrat cities that promoted defund the police. That's what we're dealing with here.
Right.
You know, you can't sit there and say there isn't a problem in San Francisco having a retail outlet. You can't say the same thing in New York City, and you can't say the same thing when it comes to the subway system. We know what a mess that is.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
I mean, there's really not a there's not a debate on that, but they change it. It's like, okay, we're going to change. We're going to sit there and say there isn't a problem because the country as a whole. Okay, no, the last one we had GDP by state. Well, funny thing is, the next release will be today.
Is it today? Okay.
Current release will be today.
All right.
Because this is real gross domestic product, and this would have been for the third quarter, right? Yeah, the third quarter. The one comes out today will be the fourth quarter. It'll be interesting because we can bring that up on Monday's show. And you had then, and that's the same thing. When you look at crime is specified to certain areas right now. And we've talked about GDP growth, and we've talked about the states are going to be doing well. Will there be a greater, will there be a lack of competition from states like California to actually compete with places like, you know, Texas, North Dakota?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're looking, I mean, North Dakota may do well, and South Dakota may do well, but their economy overall, just because of the population,
right,
isn't going to be close to what Texas and Florida or California is.
Mm-hmm.
And so you look at those states, you look at like, and that's why you sort of pick New York, Illinois, California, Texas, and Florida.
Right.
And you pick those states out because they have a large population, but they have very liberal policies. And then you pick out the other states of like Texas and Florida because they also have very large populations, and their job growth is quite active.
Mm.
Looking right here, for example, this would have been, was this the, GDP for the third quarter, Texas 7.7%, Kansas 9.7%, Florida 6.1%, all top of the heap there. Nevada 6.3%, Idaho 7%, California 4.8%, New York 3.5%, Michigan 2.9%, Illinois 4.1%.
Mm-hmm.
Start looking at it that way. So, mm-hmm. And again, that's just for the third quarter, but it's interesting to see the differences in GDPs and where the country is strong that way. And when we talk about job growth, too, you can throw the unemployment number out. And it was funny that you said that because we had not discussed this.
Mm-hmm.
And when you were talking about the unemployment numbers and you said, well, the churn rate can raise your unemployment rate.
Right.
As you were saying that, I'm reading from the Fed in Dallas, which is talking about Texas, saying, well, yeah, they had a little bit, they had an average unemployment rate and they were in the middle. But the fact is their employment growth rate was twice that of the rest of the country.
Right.
Which is where you get that churn rate at that point.
Right. Yep. Because it's so competitive. You have a higher number of people changing jobs. And you want that.
Right. So interesting to see who had the lowest. I'm trying to see. Okay. Real GDP, North Dakota was only 2.9%. In fact, that's one of the lowest that I see here. As I'm just scanning very quickly, D.C. 2.4% in the third quarter.
In North Dakota, that has to be like 99% mining. Energy production. I'm guessing. I don't know.
Okay, Mississippi was the lowest, 0.8%.
Mm-hmm.
You have to look at some of, Arkansas. 0.7%. You have to look at some of these states that may not have a lot of manufacturing yet, but you've got to look at places like Mississippi and say they do have a tremendous potential, don't they?
I would think so. I don't know what the brick walls might be, though.
Infrastructure?
Yeah.
May not be.
Because Mississippi would be, it depends on the state also. You know, you want the experience, talent, but I mean, that's going to happen on manufacturing. It's going to happen once you work out the details on any kind of tax incentive of moving, if you're a company moving your manufacturing to that state, then the talent thing will follow. The people will follow. Or will it? I mean, it's, you know, you've got to also set it up for what people expect in terms of a lifestyle. You know, are they going to move to certain areas? Are they going to move to a small town if a manufacturer decides to move to that small town? Well, not necessarily so. People want certain, you know, opportunities. Otherwise, they want, you know, good schools. They want everything else for mm-hmm. their family. So it's not just about the pay.
So, yeah, that's, I'm fascinated to see over the next decade how this goes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked about both Roy Teixeira and Douglas Schoen, both Democrats,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, consultants, media people, saying that the Democrats need to become Republicans if they wish to win in November.
Right, yeah.
Well, if they're not going to become Democrats, or they're not going to become Republicans.
They're not going to even become moderates.
No, and so if they don't switch, and I'm talking about if the states don't switch, not the federal government at this point, but like,
right.
You know, for the Biden race, but if California doesn't change where they're going, if Illinois doesn't change where they're going, if New York doesn't change where they're going, what will it be like in 10 years? Because it's out there, and I think COVID helped accelerate it. They don't wish to remain competitive economically. They've made that clear to business.
Yeah, right. And once we're getting further and further away from COVID, and as we do that, it's hard to make that comparison of, you know, that growth comparison. Well, over the last 3 years, well, yeah, compared to the bottom during COVID. Well, once you get away from that, once that cycles out of the equation, then you have to measure what the real growth is and what the real potential is. And California is in a losing position.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara. Everybody have a happy Easter.
Yeah, we hope it's a peaceful, enjoyable weekend for everyone.
Yeah.
A lot of people have Good Friday off.
They really?
Yeah. I've got two family members who don't have to go to work today.
And when we get back Monday, we'll celebrate Dingus Day.
Dingus Day?
Yes.
Yeah. Which is?
Polish holiday.
All right.
When I was a steel worker, we actually got that day off.
Yeah. Okay.
It's where you walk around to bars and you carry pussy willows and you tap women basically on the shoulder, and it means, you know, are you interested in me? I'm not making this up.
That's sexist.
He's looking at me.
Chicks got to hate that.
Yeah. Well, only the preachy ones.
Yeah, but who cares?
Oh, man.
Who cares?
James Carville.
They're just killing election promises. That's all they're doing.
They're killing Democrats in the election process, and they're killing Dingus Day.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy, game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is that, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.